You guys are always clapping for me. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 1. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. And then we'll continue on from there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." I was reading about a pastor even yesterday. And you notice that this is Philippians 3 and there's only four chapters. And in the third chapter, he says, "Finally." And this gives me, for those of you that know this, this gives me hope as a pastor. Because sometimes you say, "Finally," and a couple of chapters later, you finally end up. And so when that happens, just so you know, I'm just trying to be like the Apostle Paul. All right? Because in chapter 3, he says, "Finally," and he's only halfway done. All right? But finally, my brethren, notice what he says. Rejoice, and what does he tell you to do? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. There are many people, you'll notice that it says here that we can rejoice, and it tells us that we can rejoice because we have a Savior. We can rejoice because we have a Savior, and then it tells us that we should rejoice in Him. Rejoice in Him. All kinds of people in this world try to do all kinds of different things to take away gloom. I looked this up, and this is actually true. In Seoul, South Korea, they have 3 or 4 weeks that it is very gloomy because they have a monsoon season. If you don't know what a monsoon season is, it's where just torrents of rain and water come and just drench you. And so you don't, basically it's cloudy and gloomy for 3 to 4 weeks. And so the government of South Korea, I don't know if they coordinated with other people, but they came up with Project Monsoon. Project Monsoon. And this is what happens. They found a hydrochromatic paint that then they went out, and I actually saw a picture of it. This hydrochromatic paint, they painted on the streets, and some of the streets, it's unbelievable what they painted. So down these main thoroughfares, they used hydrochromatic paint, and it only is revealed when it rains. So as it's raining from underneath your feet, is revealed these, this one, it was crazy. It looked like it was an underwater sea, like an aquarium. And it was all on the ground, which is kind of hard because if you're walking across it, I don't know that you'd see much of it. But they were taking a picture from up on some skyscraper. So if you're walking in the monsoon, you got to run upstairs, then look down over the thing. And just because of all the exertion of energy, you're probably depressed. But what Seoul, South Korea tried to do is they were saying everybody is so depressed in monsoon season, so they came up with Project Monsoon and painted the roads so that people wouldn't be so depressed. But I'm pretty sure that they probably are still depressed. But here in this passage in Philippians chapter 3, we're going to continue on. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Now here it goes. Here it's written, beware the dogs. Look what it says in verse 2. "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." That word concision, it is actually a play on the word for the next verse. It says, "For we are the circumcision." That word concision is a play on it. Concision is actually means mutilation. So he was making a play on it. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. And notice, what were all these guys doing? "We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence." Notice what it says. They have no confidence, or we have no confidence in the flesh. Go down to verse 17. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example, or example. Look at verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I believe that this passage and the beginning are related. Right? And so what is he saying? Here are some enemies of the cross of Christ whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. This morning, I want to talk to you about that beginning, the beginning of the passage and the end. And so it's beware of dogs and beware of belly worshipers. Beware of dogs and beware of belly worshipers. I think now both of those are related because you see them in the text here. It's saying there are dogs that are out there and there are belly worshipers. And you may say, you know what, I think it's talking about me, my belly. No, all right, we're going to try to explain that. But it's, in this passage, it's telling us to beware of dogs and beware of belly worshipers. But he starts it out with saying, we can rejoice though. Our rejoicing is in the Lord. And in verse 3, he says, but be careful of these folks, because what are they? They are enemies of the cross. Because what are we preaching? We're preaching Christ crucified. We're preaching about Christ, who is the hope of salvation. He's the hope of glory. And yet these people are coming in and they're dogs, they're belly worshipers. And what are they doing? They're pulling people away from Christ. We want to look at this passage here this morning. Heavenly Father, we would ask that you would give clarity of thought. You would help us as we look at this passage, that you would make the Word of God alive. Lord, the Bible says that it can be alive. You say in Hebrews chapter 4, the Word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful. We would ask that you would empower the Word of God, as always, do what I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We claim your power, we ask for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Chinese opera, I'm not very familiar with it, maybe you are, but in Chinese opera, the heroes, there's regulations, I guess. In China, you always have restrictions, all right? But there's regulations. And so in Chinese opera, you have to have a certain color of paint for the heroes, all right? The heroes are always supposed to wear a certain color of paint. They're supposed to be simple strokes. But then the villains are always supposed to wear a different style of paint. So if you're going to Chinese opera, which I haven't, all right, but if you're going to Chinese opera and you read up a little bit, you will know that this color paint, oh, that's a hero. And you'll know this person will come out and you're like, oh, that's a villain. It's very clear. But sometimes in our life, it is not always clear who the enemies of the cross are. It is not always just cut and dry. Sometimes you're like, wait a minute, they're telling me this and this about the Bible, and they seem to be indicating that they are a follower of Christ. But in our text here, it says, wait a minute, watch it, they're a dog. Now, for you and I, for those of us that are anti-cat people, because we all know that cat tastes like chicken. All right? I'm just saying, all right, maybe not. It can be Cajuned up a little bit, all right, with Tony Catchers and things like that. But for those of us that really like dogs, you're like, beware of dogs. Oh, you bet. Because my dog, he's a good dog. You know what I mean? He's just a good dog. And that's why, so he's probably commending these guys. Oh, no. All right, the beware of dog here, just so you know, is not a compliment. All right, it's not a compliment. In fact, the idea of beware should help us out. In the Bible, in the New Testament, we are told to beware of a couple of things. I'll give you a couple of them. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And Matthew 16 and verse 6, it says, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And Matthew and Mark chapter 12, Jesus says, beware of the scribes. Again, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, take heed and beware of covetousness. So whenever you see the beware in front of a phrase, we're supposed to beware. We're supposed to take notice and watch out. That's what it's saying. Watch out. And we're in Philippians. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 8. And it says in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, if you can turn there, there's another passage in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So what we want to do then at the beginning, I want to explain to you what it means when Paul here is writing the Philippian church and he's saying, beware, watch out, beware of the dogs and beware of the belly worshippers. So what is he saying when he's saying beware of the dogs? Well, beware of the dogs. Dogs in the Eastern culture, most of the dogs in the Middle East were without owners, were without masters. They wandered in streets. They wandered in fields. They would feed upon garbage, and actually they would feed upon corpses and dead things. And you can find that in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 14, 1 Kings 16, 1 Kings chapter 21. In fact, Isaiah was told by God to talk to the false prophets, and they were called dumb dogs. He said the false prophets were dumb dogs. Just so you know, that wasn't a compliment. All right, that was not a compliment. And so when Paul is saying, beware, so watch out, and he's calling them, these guys, dogs. All right, what was it? He wasn't giving them a compliment. He wasn't saying that, you know what, like you and I have a dog at my house. And if somebody said, you know what, there are some bad people out there. There are some wicked people. But I wouldn't call them my dog. Mm-mm-mm. No, it's my dog is beloved in our home, is precious, all right, as the dew that drops down in the morning. All right, and we could go on, all right, but for some of you, it's the same way. And some of you, I know it's the cat thing, all right, but again, we're not going to get into it because there's issues there and you need therapy and stuff like that. But we're talking about dogs here, all right? So in this passage, it's not commending people because they're dogs. It is a knock on people because beware of these folks. They're dogs. All right, so we understand that. One guy, and I'm not going to get into it, but then he did a whole sermon. He did a whole sermon just on dogs. All right, I'm not going to do that. And so he compared people to like the mutt, the chow, all right, the German shepherd. All right, and I know some of you are like, oh, yeah, that's preaching. All right, but I couldn't find that biblically anywhere, so we're going to stick to the text here. All right, but then we go down to the end of the text in Philippians. We're back in Philippians chapter 3. Notice what it says in verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. All right, whose God is their belly. So what does that mean, that whose God is their belly? The first time, and for those of you that do different types of studies in the Bible, there is one type of study that is called the law of first mention. The first time that the word belly is used in the Bible is found in Genesis. So let's look at that. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. You'll remember that this is the temptation in the Garden of Eden. And so Adam and Eve are there and they're tempted. And you know that the temptation was over the tree of life. So in Genesis chapter 3, the first instance is then in verse 14. It says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this. What did the serpent do? What did the serpent do? He tempted Adam and Eve. He made them fall. Right, and we know the serpent is actually Lucifer, son of the morning. We know that that is the devil. That's what we call him today. Right, that is Satan. So here in Genesis chapter 3, we see that he made Adam and Eve to fall. And so God said, because of your part, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy what? Belly shalt thou go. All right, that's the idea of the first mention. So what does, in the Bible, it's not saying that every time this is true. But in the Bible, when you see the word belly, it's not a compliment. Normally, it's referring to the curse. It's referring to the flesh. It's referring to this old nature. So when Paul is saying, beware of the dogs, he is not complimenting these people. And when he says these guys have a God that is their belly, what is he referring to? All right, it's going back to this idea, this concept of Satan. And he's saying that, you know what, Satan crawled upon his belly because he was a man that was cursed. He is of this world. It is of this flesh. So what is he saying about these people? He's saying that these belly worshipers worship the flesh. They worship this world. So how do we, what is Paul then indicating to you and I in Philippians chapter 3, and that's what I want to look at this morning. What are the actions of the dogs and the belly worshipers that you're supposed to watch out for? So let's go through and see. First of all, look at chapter 3 and verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. We are the circumcision. This is Paul talking to the Philippian church. These are fellow believers. We are the circumcision. Right? We which worship God in the Spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and opposite of the dogs, we have no confidence, what? In the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. And then Paul goes through a great discussion, and he says, if anybody has confidence in the flesh, I should be able to have confidence in the flesh. And basically what he talks about is religion. So this is what our points. I have four different things that we are supposed to watch out for in our lives. These are beware of the dogs, beware of the belly worshipers, and some of them, this is Paul writing to a church, and it's applicable, all right? We can apply it today. Why? Because in churches today, there are dogs and there are belly worshipers. And what are they doing? The first thing they do here is they discount Christ. They discount the cross. Did you notice what Paul is saying? He's saying, hey, guess what? These guys that are dogs, what are they doing? They want you to have confidence in the flesh. They want you to think that your religion is going to get you to heaven, and that's not how you're going to get to heaven. You know what we rejoice in? We rejoice in Christ. We don't have confidence in this flesh. Because of all people, we could sit and have confidence. We can say, hey, I'm at church every weekend. I go out and visit. I pick up people and bring them to church. I'm out there and I'm telling people about the Lord. But that's confidence in my flesh if that's what I'm relying upon to get to heaven. Don't be a dog. What does a dog do? A dog glories in his flesh. And some dogs, guess what they're doing? The dogs, what are they doing? They're saying, take confidence in the flesh. Discount Christ. They discount the cross. What does he say here in this passage? He's saying, all these things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. That's verse 7. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. This is what you've got to understand. There are going to be people in this world that are going to come in, and what are they going to do? They're going to try to get you to have confidence in your flesh. They want you to think that your spirituality is going to get you to heaven, and this is what Paul's saying to the church. Hey, are we supposed to be good people? All right, The Bible wants us to be good people, wants us to be holy people and righteous people, but my righteousness doesn't get me to heaven. My confidence is in Christ, and that's where my joy is. This morning, if your joy is in your flesh, sorry, you're a dog. You're a dog. And I guess we could apply the illustration, and guess what I should kill? I should just kill that dead dog, shouldn't I? Kill my flesh. Take it down. But guess what? I shouldn't glory in that. But then notice, look it down to verse 18. All right, this is the belly worshippers. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So not only do they discount Christ, they defy Christ. They defy Him. They are the enemies of Christ. They oppose the cross. They don't give ear to the Word of God. They oppose the preaching of the cross. And that's why in religion today, religion itself is out there, and they get mad at this type of preaching, because you know what they want? They want you on the hook. You know what? If you don't come to our church and give me so much money, you'll never get to heaven. That's a bunch of hogwash. It's a bunch of baloney. Now, those people out there, why do they want to do it? Because, guess what? If they say, well, if you tell them that they can get saved, you know what? Then there's nothing for us to hang on to, and they won't come to our church. They don't want to come to your church because you're an idiot. That's why. Because you're boring. Maybe because you have no power. They don't want to get to your church because it's not interesting. There's nothing there. There's no life. It's dead. It's dead, as we call it, dead orthodoxy. Religion can be so empty. It's vanity, the Bible calls it. That's the word vanity, is emptiness. But when it goes along with the testimony. It's the same for me. When I found Christ, I found everything. Found it all. And yet to hold it over you and say, you know what? You know, then you're not going to come to church and you're not going to do right. You don't know my Savior then. Because guess what? When Christ comes in, He gives you a new life. And we preached about that in October. He gives you a new life, and He gives you a new master, and He gives you new power. And all I want to do is serve Him. Why? Because that's what He does. Because if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. But I can't defy Jesus. I don't want to be an enemy of the cross. I'm not going to hold it over you and say, no, you glory in the flesh. And part of that is glorying in our ceremonialism. Glorying in our religious rituals. Uh-uh. I'm not going to do that. Because if so, then I'm a belly worshiper. I'm a dog. Did you notice here they discount Christ? They defy Jesus. But look at verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. That God is their belly. Remember what it's saying? What is it saying? They delight in their lust. The very thing that God has condemned, they crown as divine. They have a God whom they adore, and they adorn that God in themselves and their carnal appetites. They live with unrestrained emotion. They live with unlimited appetites. They live with unchecked desires. And that's what religion will do. Religion, or these belly worshipers, what are they? Whose God is their belly? It's their fleshly appetites. Oh, there's been people sitting here, and there's even some that I've talked with you over the last year or so. And guess what? You know that your flesh has an appetite. And it wants to come in, and it wants to rule and reign. But what does God do? Christ, the cross, it takes over. It knocks you off the throne of your life. And Christ steps in. And guess what He can do? He can give you victory. But my flesh, My belly, it wants worship. Belly worshipers, they delight in their lust. All right, that's why. I was talking in my Sunday school class as far as the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is not, I was telling the guys in my class, it's not a political forum, just so you know. But there are some times that there are things that go on that we talk about, and it's just biblical. And that's where, in our society, why is there rioting? Why? What in the world? You know why? Because we have a society that lives for lust. Now you may be sitting here and, well, wait a minute, don't get into politics. I'm not getting into politics. I'm getting into the Bible, and it talks about whose God is their belly. They live to satisfy their flesh. And you tell me that our society in America is spiritual. You know it isn't. And what's ridiculous to me is that spiritually I'm supposed to go to Hollywood to get my advice. Baloney! Go to Hollywood? Look at their lives. Look what they worship. Do you ever read up on Scientology? All right, some of the major actors in our society are members of Scientology. Now, I'm thinking of starting some branch of that in our church. You know why? Guess how you advanced in Scientology. All right, and I know the guy's dead now. All right, so, he was pretty smart. Now, this is why. This is how you advanced in Scientology. He was straight out. You give me X amount of dollars, you get more righteous. Now, that's why I'm thinking of starting a little branch here. Right, and people fall for it. And guess where they live? Hollywood. Tell me how smart they are. The only thing you can do is act. You can't do anything for real. Why? Because what you're saying is, you know what, if I give them enough money, I'm going to be more righteous. Duh. I want to start a religion like that. I mean, how do you con people? You know how you con people? Philippians 3. Whose God is their belly. What do we mean by that? Well, they come in and say, hey, you know what? You give me enough money, you're going to be righteous, but you can live like the devil all you want. You know what I tell you? It ain't going to happen. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be in despair. You're going to hate your life. And you're going to hate your wives. All right, plural, out there. All right, you're going to try to take your life. You're going to try to get on drugs. You're going to try to do whatever you can. And guess what happens in Hollywood? That's exactly what happens. Why? Because they were sold a bill of goods by a bunch of belly worshipers. And the belly worshipers, what do they want? They say, hey, you know what? Live it up. Delight in your flesh. Delight in your lust. But you give me enough money and you're going to reach the 52nd level of righteousness. Oh, my word. I want to write some of these guys and say, hey, I'll offer, what do I have to offer you? I'll make up whatever. Hey, I'm thinking of making like a Lego heaven. All right, and maybe a transformer world or something like that. And hey, if you give me enough money and I build up and you can live in Lego heaven. I mean, if they're going for this stuff, what in the world? But guess what? It is in our flesh to delight in it. And so, stupidly, we follow belly worshipers. What are belly worshipers? What are the dogs? They discount Christ. They defy Jesus. They delight in their lust. But look at the last thing here. Look at verse 19. Whose end is what? Destruction. They destroy their lives. They destroy their lives. Whose end is destruction? This is my challenge to you. When you see a dog or you see a belly worshiper, look at the end of some of their lives before you decide to join them. You know what you'll find with the end of their lives? It's destroyed. It's destruction. It's despair. It's despondency. It's depression. That's what you find with some of these guys. And what is Paul saying? Hey, Philippian church, the church of Philippi, somehow in the church of Philippi, some of this had come into the church. In fact, in Galatians, he was addressing this also. So it seems like when Paul on his missionary journeys, it seems as though there were some of these guys that were following Paul around. And whenever he got a group of believers, they came in and they started undermining everything that he was teaching. And that was that Jesus Christ is the source of true joy. Jesus Christ is how you get saved. It is not by works of righteousness. And what we find is over and over, Paul addressing this in Philippians and Ephesians and even in Colossians, you see him addressing these things. Why is he addressing this? Because it seems like this concept always seems to come in, and it is here in America too. And what is it? It is that you can get to heaven on your own. Somehow we think that our flesh is good enough that we can merit heaven. And this is what I'm here to tell you from the Bible. That is dead wrong. There is nothing you can do. There is no way you can earn your way to heaven. Whoever is saying that is a dog and a belly worshiper. Why? Because if that is true, then why did Jesus Christ have to die? If that is true, then why in the world did God have to have that plan? And when the fullness of time came, he sent forth his son to be born. Why did he have to do that? Because you and I, in our flesh, there is no good thing. And in Philippians chapter 3, it's talking about these belly worshipers and the dogs. It says they discount Christ, they defy Jesus, they delight in their lusts, they destroy their lives. Their destiny is determined by God. So, look at verse 20 then. And we'll close with this idea. For our conversation, so what is the alternative? For our conversation is in where? In heaven. That word conversation can also be, the idea is, act as a citizen. That's one of the meanings of the word conversation. So what is it saying? Act as a citizen in heaven. So what is that opposed to? A belly worshiper, where is his citizenship? He's acting like this world is what it's all about. So Paul at the end says, wait a minute. We have a different citizenship. Our citizenship is not here in this world. We have a citizenship in heaven, so act like it. And also then, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice he continues the thought, who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. There was a mom, her name was Sylvia, and she lived in Connecticut. And recently, there was outrage. In fact, they put mom, Sylvia, in jail. Because either this past Friday, or I think it was the Friday before, a couple Fridays ago, she sent her son, equipped with a BB gun and a pocket knife, to defend himself against bullies. Now, all right, now what happened was, her son was getting harassed. And so she took it upon herself to arm her son. You know what? You got to lock and load, son. You got to lock and load, and this is how you do it. I'm giving you a pocket knife and giving you the... And so, I mean, people are going crazy because she equipped her son to take the bullies down. Boom. All right?
Pop them.
All right? Now, this is my desire for our church. My desire is to equip you to scare off the dogs and the belly worshipers. How can we equip you? All right, now I could give you all BB gun and a pocket knife and say, go get them. But the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it's a spiritual warfare that's going on. And the spiritual warfare, you know what happens? It's out there and the dogs and the belly worshipers, they come in and they say, hey, you know what? I don't know, you shouldn't follow Christ. You know, live in your flesh. And there's some of you that maybe even in your flesh, you've tried to conquer some things. And you are in despair. Because what does the Bible say? The belly worshipers end. Their end is destruction. It doesn't work. You say, well, then quit. No. Wait. Heed Paul's warning. Act like a citizen of heaven. Act like a citizen of heaven. And what does it mean? It means that, hey, and that's in the middle of the passage, and I'm actually going to look at that in the middle of the week, this week. Because there's joy in the race. Why is there joy in the race? Because I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. That's what I am. I'm a citizen of heaven. So guess what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to do my dead level best to please my Savior. Because He's the one that's worthy. Act like a citizen of heaven. Put your flesh under. Understand that your flesh will not do you any favors. And don't listen to this world that says, you know what, those guys over there, that's kind of extreme. Talking about temperance, talking about self-control. Well, how's it working for you out there, world? Well, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of self-control out there, a whole lot of temperance, especially when, man, you just lose an election, you little losers. You grew up that everybody's a winner in school. Well, guess what? Reality is somebody is a loser and there's a big L on your forehead right now. You know what they need? They need a big old paddle. Because that's what I would have gotten. I would have gotten my rear beat. And sit down, little boy. And that's what we got away from in our society. We've got away from teaching our children that there's a flesh, and that flesh is bad, and it wants to do wicked things. And that's because there's sin. And the dogs and the belly worshipers have come into America. And what have they done? They've said, lift up that flesh. Delight in the flesh. But guess what their end is? Destruction. The Bible is telling you and I, we live in a different citizenry. My home is in heaven. This is a temporary dwelling. And in this temporary dwelling, I need to forget about the living according to the flesh and make sure that I'm trying to live in the Spirit. That's what he says there. Live in the Spirit. So what are you doing this morning? Have you been listening to the dogs and the belly worshipers? All right, their end is destruction. Their way is horrible. Get back to God's way. Get back to the heavenly citizenship. Get God's way of running your life. And let Him come in, and guess what you'll have? You'll have that rejoicing. Remember what He said? He said it at the beginning. 3:1. Finally, my brethren, what? Rejoice in the Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed here this morning. It might be here this morning. We touched on it quickly, but we're more talking through the book of Philippians, and so we've been looking at different things. But maybe this morning you say, you know, while you were speaking there, I've been relying upon my flesh. I've been relying upon my good works to get me to heaven. Now I understand. Paul said that he could gloat and he could be arrogant or proud, and he could boast of all kinds of different things as far as his flesh, but none of that mattered. You'd say, I've been trusting in my flesh to get me to heaven, and now I understand that it's in Christ. I have never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know, maybe you've been coming for a while. Maybe you just visited and you say, you know, they gave a testimony about accepting Jesus Christ, and now you mentioned some about accepting Jesus Christ. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I don't remember a time that I've accepted Him as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Is there somebody like that you'd slip up your hand? Would you be bold enough? All right, thank you. Is there anybody else? All right, you'd slip up your hand. Anybody else, you'd slip up your hand. All right. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. All right, I'd like to pray for you. What about as a Christian here this morning? Is your confidence in the flesh? Have you been following along with these dogs and belly worshipers? What are they doing? They want you to delight in the flesh. They want you to deny Christ. They want you to discount the cross instead of doing it God's way. As a Christian this morning, make sure you're following God's way. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We would ask that if it's a Christian that needs to use the altar, they would do it. If they're someone that's unsaved and they are confused about salvation, I pray that they would get that settled here this morning. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing with heads bowed, eyes closed. Piano and organ are going to play. If God dealt with your heart, especially in the area of salvation, I would ask you to come forward. If you're a Christian, you need to use the altar, then you come as the piano and organ play. Raised your hand about salvation. You're unsure of that. If you'd slip out, we have men down front. We'd ask you to do that. Step out. If you're unsure as far as salvation, step out. Someone can meet you. We just want to make sure that you know for sure you're on your way to heaven.